The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 30, Texts Number 26, 27, and 28, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 26, 2007, in Sydney, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 30, Description of Adverse Fruit of Activities, texts 26, 27, and 28. We will simply recite together text 26.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Jivachaschancha Vyudhyara. Svagrid Raya Yamasadane Sarparish Chitta Jangshad Yair Sashad Vishchatma Vaishasam.
Translation: His entrails are pulled out by the hounds and vultures of hell, even though he is still alive to see it. And he is subjected to torment by serpents, scorpions, gnats, and other creatures that bite him. It would make great subject matter for Hollywood, for horror movies, having your entrails eaten while you're alive to see it by vultures and hounds. Very, very heavy description. So there's no purport. We will go on reading two more shlokas.
Kanintanam chavayavasho kejadibhyo vedapanam patanangiri sringebhyo rodanam chambagartayah.
Next, his limbs are lopped off and torn asunder by elephants. He is hurled down from hilltops, and he is also held captive either in water or in a cave.
Yash tamishirandam tamishra ravivyajashtra yatana bhungte naro vanari va mitta sangena nirmita.
Men and women whose lives were built upon indulgence and illicit sex life are put into many kinds of miserable conditions in the hells known as Tamishra, Andha Tamishra, and Raurava. Purport: materialistic life is based on sex life. The existence of all the materialistic people who are undergoing severe tribulation in the struggle for existence is based on sex. Therefore, in the Vedic civilization, sex life is allowed only in a restricted way. It is only for the married couple and only for begetting children. But when sex is indulged in for sense gratification, illegally and illicitly, both the man and woman await severe punishment in this world or after death. In this world also, they are punished by virulent diseases like syphilis and gonorrhea. And in the next life, as we see in this passage of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are put into different kinds of hellish conditions to suffer. In Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, illicit sex life is also very much condemned. And it is said that one who produces children by illicit sex life is sent to hell. It is confirmed here in the Bhagavatam that such offenders are put into hellish conditions of life in Tamishra, Andha Tamishra, and Raurava.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitam Scha
So, we may try to enjoy in this world. We have the freedom to try to enjoy our senses. But we can see from this description in Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to pay the price. Enjoy now, pay later. It's like credit card. It may seem very nice, but when you find yourself being devoured by a credit card, it is worse than death. So it is something like that, this illicit sexual pleasure. It seems so nice, but actually it's the most hellish situation one finds oneself in. There are further descriptions later on exactly what kind of punishment these men and women receive in these hells known as Tamishra, Andha Tamishra, and Raurava. It is ghastly, very, very severe, ghastly punishment they receive. So the Vedic culture wants to protect us from such hellish conditions. So in the Vedic culture there is training how to avoid this sex life as far as possible. That training is called brahmachari. You see, you do not see a woman as an object for your enjoyment. You see the woman as mother. That is the training. In the Vedic culture, every woman is addressed as mother, Mataji, except for one's wife. And Prabhupada explains in one lecture in Los Angeles that even the wife, she is not called by her name, she is called Devi. You see, it is great respect. There is that formality of respect. There is always, even in the married life, there is always that formality there. Why? This is protection, you see. It is protection against this indulgence in sex life. It is clearly stated here that sex life is only for begetting children. Sometimes, even in our ISKCON, there is an idea that the regulated principles are no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no sex outside of marriage. This incorrect idea is floating around sometimes, I am seeing. We have to understand that Prabhupada is very clearly stating here that even if one is married, sex life is only for begetting children. Otherwise, there should be no sex indulgence. One should not think that I am initiated. So, even if I have sex for pleasure, I am protected. No. Even initiated devotee, if he knowingly violates this principle, he may have to face such a hellish condition. So one should be very, very careful. In every ashram, one should be very, very careful to practice brahmachari. You see, we have five kinds of brahmacharis, actually. We have brahmachari brahmacharis. We have brahmacharini brahmacharis. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have grihastha brahmacharis. We have vanaprastha brahmacharis. And we have sannyas brahmacharis. At every step, brahmachari, 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 brahmachari. Which means, as Prabhupada explains, to use sex life only for producing Krishna conscious children. That is brahmachari. So that rule applies to everyone, in every status. Sex life is only for producing Krishna conscious children. That sex life is glorious. Lord Chaitanya was very strict. When there was some perceived irregularity, Achyuta Haridas, in regards to womanly association, he was condemned very severely by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when his grihastha disciples had children, he was very much pleased and encouraging. So we do not condemn sex life. Krishna says that sex life, which is used according, which is engaged in according to religious principles, that is me. So, by that sex life, one can make progress in spiritual life to beget Krishna conscious children. That is a means of making progress in Krishna consciousness. But any sexual activity outside of that, it is the doorway to hell. So, the Vedic culture is arranged in such a way to protect us from agitating the senses for this sex pleasure. It is protection. If the male and female, they become too close with each other, then the hormones become stimulated. You see, the male hormones become stimulated, the female hormones become stimulated. Therefore, we keep some polite, respectful distance. Not out of contempt, but out of love. It is loving relationship in the Vedic culture. So, in that love, we keep some distance to keep cool, the consciousness cool. Just like in your kitchen, you have butter. Where do you keep the butter? You keep it in the cooler. You do not keep it by the stove. If it is by the stove, it will melt. So, it is compared that the men, they are like butter, and the women, they are like fire. Both things are very good. The fire is very good. In the kitchen it is necessary. There must be fire. Otherwise how you can have kitchen, you see. And the butter also is very good. But you have to keep them properly situated, so there is not trouble. So that things go on very nicely. if you go to cook the offering and you find that somebody left the butter by the stove and it's melted all over the floor, can you use that butter? You'll have to just clean it up and throw it away, you see. Oh my goodness, the butter is melted all over the floor of the kitchen. Somebody put it by the stove, you see. So we have to keep the butter and the fire very nicely in their positions. And in this way, we can make so many wonderful offerings to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. We just keep that fire and butter properly situated. So the non-devotees, they find this unthinkable, such a culture. They find that unthinkable. They think, oh, you people are like the Taliban. You see? They think it's old-fashioned, it's outdated, it's draconian, practically. They consider it draconian. Wicked, vile, evil culture, you know. That's their conception. Their philosophy is that since you're going to die, you better enjoy as much as you can. But they fail to note that actually you don't really die and you have to take reactions for everything that you do. We don't deny enjoyment. Krishna consciousness does not mean to deny enjoyment. Krishna consciousness means to amplify the enjoyment. Why get one drop of water in the desert when you can have a whole ocean of pleasure, you see? This is our philosophy. We are the biggest enjoyers, you see. We are the real enjoyers. Because we know how to actually taste unlimited happiness. Brahma saukhyam tvanantam. Instead of trying to enjoy a false conception of the self, our enjoyment is to revive the original, natural, and proper understanding of the self. The self is naturally blissful. Because the Supreme Self is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And because the individual self is part and parcel of that Supreme Self, the individual self is constitutionally eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So why should there be any suffering or anxiety or illusion? It's completely unnatural for any living entity to ever be in ignorance, illusion or anxiety. It's completely unnatural. It's not right. It's not proper. It's weird, actually. It's a very weird thing that somebody would not be experiencing eternity, knowledge and bliss at every minute. So we live in a world which is extremely weird. It's a very strange place. There was one popular book back in the 60s. I didn't read it, but it's a good title. Stranger in a Strange Land. That's our position here in this material existence. This is a weird place. Everything is topsy-turvy. What's good, they say it's bad. And what's bad, they say it's good. I mean, it's completely upside-down situation. So Krishna consciousness simply means to become sane. That's all it really is. Don't be a lunatic. Be sane. That's all. That's all we're really saying. Don't be a madman. Pagal. Don't be pagal. Become an enlightened sage. So how will we become enlightened? How will we come out of the madness which is keeping us entangled birth after birth after birth after birth? How will we get out of that entanglement? By sleeping in the Bhagavatam class? No. By hearing. That is the secret of success. Become very, very expert in the art of hearing. This is a very simple method. This was Prabhupada's explanation of how he became qualified preacher. As you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he spoke in very, very erudite English. Even we native English speakers, if we read his materials, we have to get one of those unabridged dictionaries. What's this word mean? What does that word mean? The materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. What's he talking about? And that's very simple compared to what he usually says. So, there was some Vrajmandal Parikrama going on. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and his followers. And one young man, pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Chadante. He went to hear Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So, in the evening time, you know, and of course here in Sydney, nightlife means bars, cinema, you know, so many sinful things. But in Brajmandal, nightlife means darshan time. Especially we've seen in Vrindavan town, everyone's going here, there, Krishna Balaram, Banki Bihari, Madarshan, here, darshan, there, darshan, 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 darshan. That's the nightlife. So anyway, it was evening time. And darshan time, you see. And the devotees had an option. They could hear the lecture, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, or they could go for darshan. And they're mostly simple village boys, and they can't ever understand what Guru Maharaj is talking about. So they go for darshan. They wouldn't stay for hearing. But there was a very small number who would sit in here. So Prabhupada, at that time, Abhay Chadante, he said, I would understand or I would not understand. But simply I would go on hearing. You see, he was very keen to hear. He wasn't falling asleep like we have a tendency to do in the class, you see. He was very keen to hear. He was very, very keen to hear. And just like in ISKCON, when someone for getting initiated, there is some recommendation given by the temple authorities, you see. So, the devotees who were preaching in Allahabad, they recommended to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that there is this man, this young man of Abhay Chadante, we would like to recommend him for Diksha Guru Maharaj. She is very qualified. He said, oh yes. I know him. He hears very nicely, you see. So, just by sitting in the class and hearing very nicely, you see, when one is giving class, you can easily see who's tuned in and who's spinning off somewhere in orbit, somewhere out there, flipping, you know, going around the Milky Way, you know what I mean? So, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur could see, oh, yes, he hears very nicely. I will accept him as my disciple. So that is the qualification, you see, for becoming properly situated in Krishna consciousness, to be very, very qualified hearer. If one can do that very nicely, then everything else will automatically follow from them. Simply become a very qualified hearer. And then Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So, it is an open secret. If you want to become advanced in Krishna consciousness, you simply have to hear very nicely. That's all you have to do. Nothing else is required because everything else is included within them. If you hear nicely, well then you will chant nicely. If you're hearing and chanting nicely, you will serve nicely. You will remember nicely. Everything will become first class automatically. If you simply hear in a very, very first class way, you see. And by that hearing, we will get a taste. And that taste will carry over into all the other activities, our chanting, our service, our remembrance, our prayers, our relationships. Simply by quality hearing, everything will come in the most wonderful, dynamic, exciting, thrilling, adventurous way. Krishna consciousness means an exciting adventure at every second. But are we tasting it? Are we experiencing an ever-increasing, exciting adventure at every second? A thrill at every moment? No. We're still battling it out with the modes of nature. We're still being pulled. Well, sattva-gun pulls us this way, and then tamagun pulls us this way. Rajagun pulls us this way, we're being pulled this way and that way, you see, by the modes. That's the same. Isn't it? Yes. Confirmed. It's a fact. We are being pulled by the modes. So, the Shabda Brahma, the transcendental sound vibration, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashta Praeshva Bhadradeshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. This transcendental sound vibration, especially the Bhagavatam, has the power to pull us out of the influence of the modes of nature. First it will bring us to sattva guna, and then from there to pure devotional service. First thing is it'll get rid of the raja and the tama. And then they get rid of the sattva. Different layers fall off. You see, the tama falls off, the raja falls off, sattva falls off, and then you have shuddha sattva. Simply by regularly attending classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and by serving that person who is a living manifestation of the Bhagavatam. You see, there are two Bhagavatams. There is the book Bhagavatam and there is the person Bhagavatam. By associating with these two Bhagavatams, then all the inauspiciousness within the heart, all the influence of the modes of nature will be cleansed away. And we can fully realize Krishna. We are meant to fully realize Krishna. Sometimes you think, well, if I can just be a well-respected devotee in ISKCON, then I've made it, you see. I got my position, I got my service, everyone likes me, I'm appreciated, well, I've made it. No. And that's good. But we're actually meant to come premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yam shama shundaram achintya gunas rupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. We are meant to be so expert in hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the holy names, absorbing ourselves in Shabda Brahma and in service, that the heart becomes completely cleansed, totally cleansed. So that we actually, the fruit is that you can see God. You can see Krishna within everything and you can see everything within Krishna. We are meant to come to that position. Actually, Prabhupada ordered me to do that in one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that is, we are meant to achieve that, you see. As soon as possible, to become free from the influence of the material nature. So therefore, we have to become very, very, very eager to hear this message. By that eagerly hearing, drinking deeply, deeply, deeply the nectarian Krishna Katha. we will get a taste that is so sublime that, as I mentioned last night at the program, if Maya makes you an offer, you'll just laugh. What a stupid offer, Maya, you're making to me. You see, you can't lure me because I've tasted Krishna consciousness. I've actually tasted it, what it is. And there's nothing you can offer me, Maya Devi. Sorry. Go somewhere else and look for a customer. You see? That's how strong we should become in Krishna consciousness. There's nothing Maya can offer us anymore. It would budge our consciousness even one inch from the lotus feet of the Lord. Padam drishva navartate, that higher taste, you see. If I give you $1 million, would you be happy? Sure you would. I say, now give it back. I was only joking. I wasn't really giving you $1 million. Oh. I say, but that would be a disappointment. But I say, I will give you $1 billion and you can keep it if you give me $1 million back. Will you have any trouble parting with $1 million? No way. Immediately, yes, here's $1 million. Give me $1 billion. So even if you have $1 million worth of happiness in this material world as a Birla or as a Gates or as a, you know, some big, big rock star, whatever you may have, you know, Mick Jagger or whatever you may be, your pleasure is nothing. Actually, it's simply an agitation compared to the pleasure of being able to purely chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Question? Speak up, I'm deaf.
Mm-hmm. I read the other day Bhakti True Maharaj said, we worship the holy name. Initially, we worship the holy name by hearing. Basically, that's our worship. So, how to improve the quality of hearing?
Well, one of the best things is to take advantage of the modes of nature, use them to your advantage. During the early morning hours, Brahma Muhurta, the sattva guna is predominant. That's why the best thing is to chant in the early morning. Sometimes devotees have service in the early morning. And they think, well, I can't chant my rounds, I'll have to chant them during the day here and there, and it makes it harder. I was in our Atlanta temple years ago, I was serving there as a brahmachari. And there was another brahmachari, his service was, he was the cook, and there was a big temple of the whole army of hungry brahmacharis. So he had a big service to cook that breakfast every morning for all the devotees. So he had a very bright idea. He actually would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd be all alone in the temple chanting his rounds. They'd all be done by Mangalarti. Really good quality rounds. Very, no distractions. Just get up, take a shower, go to the temple room, chant his rounds. You know, and then go to the kitchen, and then when all the brahmacharis were down there eating the breakfast, he was up in the brahmachari ashram, which is now very quiet and peaceful, taking a nap. He did it every day like clockwork. So it was so inspiring. Even though I wasn't cooking the breakfast, I joined him. I got up and did it with him every day. It was so sweet. So just find a way where you can regulate yourself every day, day after day after day, to have quality hearing. You know, make a pattern that you can just plug into. No matter what, you know. I think all of us eat every day, don't we? We all eat every day. We wouldn't give up our eating. So we should. The hearing is also the eating. It is the most important eating. It is the eating of the soul, you see. Soul eating, that is our hearing. That's where we get our nourishment spiritually, by hearing. So one would never think of, just like we would never neglect eating to feed this body, we should never neglect feeding the soul by our daily breakfast. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if you're having difficulty, then you can ask Krishna, my dear Krishna, I want to take shelter of your name because I know that that is my only hope for being saved from this material existence. But my dear Lord, my mind is being distracted by the material energy. Please, my dear Krishna, please save me from this attraction for the material nature. Please bless me. I can become completely, totally, 100% absorbed in the beautiful sound vibration of your holy names. You can beg Krishna to help you. You can recite notable prayers of the great acharyas, or you can pray from your own heart according to the mood of the great acharyas. By careful study, you can understand the mood of the great acharyas, and you can pray from your own heart also in the same mood as the great acharyas have shown in their perfect prayers. So in this way, one has to bring the mind to complete absorption in the name. We have a tendency to simply skim the surface. The name is actually an ocean of nectar. We just stick our toes in. We just dabble in that ocean slightly. But we have to learn the art of how to go deeply, 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 unlimitedly. It is a fathomless ocean. There is no bottom to that ocean. The Namamrita Sindhu has no bottom. So we have to just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into that Namamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of the holy name. Does that help? Yes. Say that again. No. You can take a break for a minute and just pray to, just play it. You know, stop chanting on the, for a minute and pray very intensely. My dear Lord, please help me. I'm having difficulty taking shelter of your name. Please bless me that I can dive deeply into your name in full absorption. And then go back to chanting again. Any other question? Everyone's satisfied now? No impediments on the pathway back to home? Everything's clear sailing? Yeah? Yeah, Prabhupada's instruction was that you should fix the mind in the name. Sometimes we hear devotees will cite different this acharya and that acharya, or you meditate on this past. Prabhupada actually instructed us, so we should follow our particular acharya. Sometimes there may be slightly different moods from different acharyas, but we should follow Srila Prabhupada's system. He has the best grasp of any acharya of what in the modern situation, right now, right here in the modern world, he, Prabhupada, has the best conception of how we can practically become pure devotees. So we should follow Prabhupada's program. His instruction was to fix the mind on the sound vibration. He said if other thoughts come, like pastimes, that's very nice. If they spontaneously come, that's wonderful. But we should fix the mind in the sound vibration. A woman may say, well, I'm not attracted to sound vibration. I'm attracted by the pastimes, so I want to meditate on the pastimes, you know, and then the name is kind of, the mantra is kind of going off on the side over here, and I'm thinking about the pastimes. That's the wrong understanding. Because actually the name is absolute. The pastimes are there within the name. You don't need to separately try to enter into pastime smaranam. If you deeply dive into the name, all you will find all the pastimes are there. They're all there within the name. So simply always bring yourself back to the sound of the name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the injunction of the Brihad Naradiya Puranam. Hare Nama doesn't say Hare Lila, it says Hare Nama, Hare Nama. So bring it back to the name. So I can see there is a Lila about ready to happen here. It is the Darshan Arti. So we will end the class. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.